Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/android. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to netflix.com/twit.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 24, recorded on Friday, September 2nd, 2011. This is your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Owl.
He's back! Yay. And then we don't have Ron.
I'm still stranded.
Yay. Thank God.
I'm stranded.
I know. That would be depressing if I was still stranded.
Yeah, that would. That would have been like 5 days.
Yeah, yeah. Thankfully, I'm not. Grass Valley's a great place, but thankfully, I'm still not there. Everything's okay. I'm all good.
Well, welcome back. Ron is out this week recording a special episode of his iFanboy, and he apologizes for not making this episode. But we have Aaron Newcomb of Floss.
Back again.
And the Source
Second
podcast.
Week in a row.
See, this is the joke we're having, is that once we've got you, you're going to have to come back immediately.
Yeah, it's like we lure you in initially. We're like, hey, you want to be on the show this one time?
Yeah,
and then it's
back.
Like, you know, we take advantage every single week. We're like, no, you got to do it again.
So this is like 2 weeks in a row. Nicole had 3 weeks in a row. Who's going to win?
She's got the record
you know,
right now.
The record of the best or longest guest starring on All About Android.
I'm gunning for it. 3 weeks in a row. I'm going to go 4 weeks. 4 weeks in a row.
Oh, my God.
Regardless, we really appreciate you being here.
Absolutely. Anytime. Glad to join you guys.
Especially back-to-back.
So. Yeah. Well, this week is another feedback and Q&A episode. And we also have a ton of hardware news, thanks to IFA. And and there's also more about the upcoming Amazon tablet, which I'm obsessed about. Plus, we have a grab bag of apps. What would we call your app? Is a tool and two games.
Yeah,
right?
A tool and two games. So it would be an interesting Android
arena. Who's
going to
win? Although your app is really fantastic, Jason. So,
well, your games are fantastic, too.
See? Oh, thank
See
you.
See what I did there?
Yay!
We're all winners.
Hey, before we get started with our feedback, I just wanted to show a little video. For those of you who don't know, there were two Nexus S phones that went up into space with the Atlantis, the STS-1. 135 mission. Chad, let's go ahead and play a little bit of that video.
Over a lot of the menial tasks that astronauts do. Our first goal for our project is to have ground controllers driving the sphere around on the space station. The sphere will take data and pictures and sensor readings and send that back to the user.
She hooks it to the front, and at that point the phone will be able to tell the sphere where it needs to go. The processor, the camera, and all of the sensors that are in the Nexus S become the brains of the robot and tell the sphere where it wants to fly. The Wi-Fi on the phone connects to the station Wi-Fi. That gets linked down to the ground, and then hopefully we're going to be able to control it from the ground.
We chose the Nexus S because the phone is very easy to take apart. Android is easy to program. We're familiar with it, and we needed to make a lot of customizations that are easier to make with Android.
Google was also working on an open source data logger, and it met our use case requirements.
You can download this application for your Android device, and that is the exact same application as what NASA is using.
The more time that the astronauts can spend doing science, the more value we're getting out of that investment.
Our goal is to provide enough value to crew and enough value to operations that they'll be able to keep it up there for a long time.
Roger, roll, Atlantis.
Houston now controlling.
Very cool.
So did you download this app?
I haven't yet. The app is called Sensor Data Logger from Cellbots. It's free right now in the Android marketplace. And I'm anxious to kind of you know,
sensor
see what it's
data
about.
Data logging application for Android. Gathering measurements from all available sensors while recording video and taking time-lapse pictures.
That's awesome. Is this something that they built when, because I know they sent the Nexus S up into near-Earth orbit in a balloon, right? That was like one of the first things they did. Do you guys know, is this something that they wrote for that and then just adapted it for
I don't
NASA,
know, but it seems space, like it's possible. Yeah,
they're just using, I mean, I think it's awesome, but they're just basically using an off-the-shelf application. I mean, think about, you know, back in the day, if they were to build this themselves.
They would have to create the hardware.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be millions of dollars and all this time it would take them. And now they can just say, just give me a cell phone and I'll take that application there. It looks good.
Cool. I mean, there's enough sensors in these phones for this to absolutely, obviously be very possible. It's cool that you can kind of download it because, I mean, I'm trying to think about it right now and kind of figure out like what I would really use it for. But I'm sure people are going to come up with some really cool uses for this app.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of a little disappointed that they're not using the Star Trek tricorder or whatever. I mean, because that basically has all that functionality too. How cool would it have been if they actually used that app in space, you know, and they're interfacing with it? And I don't know. Maybe it's just the geek in me coming out.
That's the future, man. That's like next year. Yeah. Next year they'll be doing that. They got to get
2012 is where it's at. That was just an excuse for me to get some space into the episode. Actually, we'll have a little bit at our outro video as well.
Yeah.
Should we go ahead and dig into feedback?
Yeah, we're just going to go right into feedback. As we said, this is, this is every once in a while we like to have an episode that's filled mostly with your feedback, although this episode, as you said, we've got a lot of hardware news to kind of talk about as well. But we're still going to jam in as much feedback as we can. We might as well start off with a voicemail. You can send us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Stuart called in requesting kind of a basic feature that I would agree with him. Android probably should have. Go for it, Stuart.
Was mechanic in San Diego, and I have one question. Want to be able to put a shortcut to a file on a folder or a desktop instead of opening up the app to open up the file. And I have not seen that. Thanks for the show. Bye.
So what he's asking for is to be able to actually send to create a shortcut that goes directly to a file so that, for instance, if you wanted to launch right into playing a song or something like that, probably more useful would be something like a PDF file or whatever.
Yeah.
Instead of opening up the app and then navigating to the PDF or opening it through the app specifically, be able to actually create a shortcut on your home screen that launches that immediately. And I kind of looked into it. Android OS doesn't specifically have the ability to do this right out of the gate, which kind of seems weird to me because you have that whole context screen of shortcuts. If you long press on the home screen, kind of seems like it would fit into that perfectly. But there are a few apps that allow you to do this. Lynda File Manager, ES Bookmark Manager, and one app that I've had installed on my phone for, I mean, almost as long as I've had the phone is called Astro. It's an Astro File Manager. And I'll actually show you on my phone here. If you long press on the desktop and you hit shortcuts, if you have Astro installed, there's a little Astro shortcut that's down here. Click that. And that'll pull up, what do you know? It pulled up a music file. I must have prepared for this. So you can go ahead and click that and enter a name for it so that it shows up on your desktop with a specific name. Hit OK. And you can actually change the icon if you want to as well. And boom, I've got an icon down there. Although I think I have my Launcher Pro set to hide icon names, so that's why you're not seeing the icon name there. But basically from there, I can just launch it, and it opens it up. And it plays a pretty cool song. So that's
is
just
that
kind of
a song from Portland.
It is.
Portlandia.
Portlandia.
Yeah. Wow. That's the one, right? I heard it in like two.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good call. Although I loved that song before I heard it on Portlandia, and then I heard it on Portlandia, I was like, God, I didn't know anybody knew this band. It's kind of washed out. Anyway, so it is totally possible. Stuart, check it out. Astro does this, and you can find it in the market, and it's free.
Yep, and also I use ES File Explorer,
which
also does it. I just checked while you were explaining that. I just checked, and ES File Explorer does it as well, plus a couple other options. And ES File Explorer does LAN browsing as well. So that's why I use that, is because it does a really good job of browsing SIF shares on your network. So,
nice.
Yeah, bonus.
So then it sounds like file managers, in general, are building this functionality. It just kind of seems like a no-brainer. Like, why isn't it part of the Android OS?
Yeah, it's just a shortcut anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But anyways, there you go.
Great.
I guess I'm next here. Continuing on the route of what Android probably should have.
Our wish list.
Something around. Yeah this right. is like our wish it list is. Segment. Alex from the UK writes in and says, I've been using Android for 6 months on my HTC Desire S, having ditched the iPhone, largely happy. But one thing's been bugging me lately. I've got plenty of apps installed, many of which offer a share via function. And these come up in the menu. So when you go to share something, share via, and it pulls up the whole list of things that you can share. Unfortunately, this list is getting rather long, and I only ever choose three options: Facebook, Gmail, or Dropbox. It's made worse by Facebook appearing twice, as well as the Facebook HTC Sense app that comes with the phone. I don't know if this can be uninstalled as it came built into the phone. Anyway, in short, I want to be able to edit the share via menu, and I can't find anything helpful. And let's see here. I know that I can do this as well.
Take a shot of my screen really quick. Look at all of that.
That's interesting, though, because I'm looking at yours, and it's actually, it's hard to read.
It's very hard to read.
But you see everything, at least. It's all, like, in a box.
Yeah, well, this is Go Launcher Pro, but it's just, I would love to edit that. I don't know. Well, at the same time, it's like, if I did want to go to Plixi, which I never use, I'm going to uninstall that pretty soon. Nice to have.
But there are definite icons in there that you probably never, ever use.
Right. Oh, right? Never. All
you
share,
never share. So
I
you could at least
that.
Trim it down to be somewhat manageable. If you take a look at my screen, I have just this twit twit pick, not twit pick, but from our studio pick. And if I do share, I get the menu that extends off the top of the screen. So I actually can't go up there. It stops at messaging.
This might be a Samsung thing.
Yeah, I'm thinking
not,
that.
Actually, not the Launcher Pro thing. So for me.
There's nothing that I can do. If I have too many apps that share via, I'm just kind of stuck with this window that pops off the screen and anything above messaging, whatever that may be. I don't even know what it is. I can never access. Mm-hmm. So this just seems like, if anyone actually has the ability to do something about this, seems like something to fix in a future update. I tried to search for apps that would help you kind of pare this down. There's nothing that I could find.
Yeah, I looked too. I couldn't find anything either. I mean, there's some developer tools, but nobody wants to go.
Yeah.
Develop a problem, hopefully. I mean, some developers do, but otherwise you don't want to do that. So
maybe a developer will.
Yeah,
now.
This would be a good, it sounds like this would be a good either addition to an existing app or a brand new app just to deal with this problem.
Totally.
All right, moving on to the next email. Hey, Android Cruise. First off, I love your show and a longtime listener and first-time writer. I'm having a problem or a concern about e-readers. I have a lot of e-books like PDF and .chm. Which application do you guys recommend for reader that saves progress for both formats? That's the key. He wants both, and that's the issue here because I had a hard time trying to figure that out. Thanks in advance, G. First, I thought my app, Aldico, which is a great e-reader app, actually. Chad, you can go to my screen really quick. Aldico, A-L-D-I-K-O 2.0. It has a great sort of library with shelves, wonderful store. If I go to the store really quick, they have everything. Look at that little scroll at the top. I love the look. I love the UI. And it does support a ton of formats, but it doesn't support .chm, as far as I know. And I did a little survey on G+ for that. But let's see if I have a book here to look at. Last read, White Fang. So anyways, it's a very, very good e-reader, and a ton of people love this app.
Yeah, this is a
but
big
it
one.
Just doesn't do both things that G needs.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of recommendations, but you have one too.
Well, I was just kind of poking around trying to find a single app that took care of both of these things, and I couldn't find one either. But I did run across an app called HY Reader, all one word, and it does EPUB, CHM, TXT, UMD, HTML, but it doesn't do PDF as far as I can tell from the Android Market entry here. So I don't know if there is one ebook reading app to rule them all that covers both of these.
What some people are doing are converting their .chm files to a PDF.
Such a pain in the butt to have to convert beforehand, though. Especially if other apps in the marketplace can read CHM. You'd think one of the dominant, developers of the dominant apps would build that functionality in. Why not?
I'm staring at the chat room to see if anybody has one that. But I looked a lot and I couldn't find one that did both. I mean, that's the key. There are many apps that do either, or support like PDF and other, you know, e-reader formats, but not necessarily .chm. So, just to piggyback on that, I do, one app that does support .chm is called Moon Plus Reader, and I really like this app. And look, you can highlight with different colors, and this is just me with a UI thing, but I love the page turn.
Nice.
I love this page turn. So this is just another app to check out called Moon Plus Reader. Just throwing that out there, and they've got really a good store as well.
Yeah.
So I guess if anybody has a recommendation that we've overlooked that could help G, let us know so we can email him. But I didn't see one that did both.
Yeah.
So it seems like another good opportunity for an existing app or someone that wants to create a new app to do that.
Yeah, I
wonder. Seems like it'd be pretty easy to add in because it's a standard based. It's based on HTML, I think. So it's a standard format that should be easy to add in.
One of these apps should just do it.
Yeah. Do you know? Does either of you happen to know what CHM is as a file format? Like where
it's Windows?
I looked it up. Compressed HTML or compiled HTML? I think.
Yes, okay. And it's usually with. In a database, if you're looking for help files, and I tried actually finding one of those files to download to try in here, and it took me forever.
Right.
Windows help files. Thank you. That's what I thought it was. Okay.
Yep. Interesting. All right.
Great.
And some people need those.
Yep.
So.
All right. Well, I've got an email now from Humberto Valencia, I believe is his name. It says, "Hello, AAA crew. I want to get my mom a new phone since she's due for an upgrade on T-Mobile. She's not new to Android since she has a G1, but I think she needs something better." Yes, she does. "Considering her needs, texting, phone calls, occasional browsing, picture taking, I was looking at some inexpensive models like the Samsung Galaxy Smart, Gravity Smart or the LG Optimus T, but I don't know which one of the two to go for. She doesn't need a powerhouse phone, but she says she'd like to have a physical keyboard. I'm still hesitating on which of the phones I mentioned would be great, since both have the same specs. I do want her to have something that she'll at least be comfortable with. Besides those I mentioned, do you guys know of any other options? She's looking not to spend a lot on a phone, and she usually keeps them for a while, so durability is also in the equation. Hope you guys can answer my question, and keep it up with the show. It's one of the best... in caps out there. Thanks. Smiley face.
Thank you.
So there's a few options, and I actually just went through this recently with my wife.
Oh, you did? Oh, good.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, great. I love this question. and she was on T-Mobile, and she had a basic flip phone. And she wanted to go, step up to a smartphone. Mm-hmm. And so there's a few options. Let me go through those on T-Mobile first. So on T-Mobile, there's a few options you can try. One is the MyTouch 4G. There's a MyTouch 3G, and now there's a MyTouch 4G. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's a version of the MyTouch 4G that if you get it online, it's free with a contract. So since you said you were upgrading, I'm assuming you're at that point in your contract where you can upgrade. It might be something to consider. That does have a slide-out keyboard. There's also the Sidekick 4G, which actually gets better reviews, at least on the T-Mobile side. I noticed that. So the Sidekick 4G might be an option. And that'll last for a while because 4G should be supported for the near future, at least the next few years. So
mom has to be cool with rocking a Sidekick, though.
Exactly. That one's a little bit more stylish, a little bit.
The keyboard is always kind of the strong suit about the Sidekick.
But the keyboard is excellent, exactly. Yeah. And there's also one more I found, which is the Motorola Click 2, which also has a slide-out keyboard. You can check that one out as well. It's a little bit older. It's running Froyo. It's free, I believe. Mm-hmm. It might be an option. The other thing that I would suggest is actually if you're at the point in your contract where your contract is actually up, not just to upgrade, but actually your two-year agreement's up, you may want to, get off the contract cycle and just get your own phone off of Craigslist or I guess eBay. I don't know. I usually use Craigslist. Get your own phone. That's what I did for my wife. I got her – she actually switched from T-Mobile to Virgin Mobile and got the Samsung – now I'm going to – it's not the Infuse. It's the –
Atrix? No.
No. Now I'm going to forget it. I'll look it up in just a second. But anyway, she got a, you know, it's a kind of a, it's a slider phone. It's
Intercept.
Intercept. Thank you. Mm. I knew you'd come up with it. The Samsung Intercept. And I think I got that for $80 on Craigslist. So, and I don't have to worry about contracts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so she's paying $25 a month. She gets unlimited texting and data and 400 minutes a month. So it really works for her. So might be something to check out if you're at that point in your contract, like I said, that you can get out of it.
Yeah, my automatic inclination with all these things is to always end up being like, well, you want the biggest, baddest phone just because that's where my mind is. But, you know, these other lower-end phones aren't necessarily – that isn't necessarily a bad thing. And especially to a lot of people, they just don't push their phones in the way that, that we do. Yeah. So some of these phones – and, I mean, you know, I kind of laughed a little bit with the Sidekick, but, I mean, it's free. It's 4G.
Yep.
Why not? It's got a great keyboard, you know, so definitely a few options.
There. Yeah, exactly. There's a big Labor Day weekend sale at T-Mobile. So if you're listening
right now,
Humberto, but I mean, maybe you may not want to be locked into a contract. Yeah, maybe she doesn't want to. So I think that's a great idea if you don't want to be locked into a contract is to just get that phone on eBay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got a couple of listener tips. And this one comes from Mike, who says, greetings, All About Android team. Have you ever blasted your eardrums because you forgot you left the volume turned up before you plugged in your headphones? Ouch.
I stumbled
upon an app named Hearing Saver that will automatically adjust the volume when headphones are plugged in. It's free, ad-free. I like that. Open source and seems to work perfectly on my Nexus S. Love the show. We like to give tips like that every once in a while. Mm-hmm. From, you know, so it's not just send us a video, send us an email, send us, you know, a voicemail, whatever, because you guys have great tips out there as well. So Absolutely. Thank you very much, Mike. And that app again is called Hearing Saver. Awesome Edition Pro.
Absolutely.
And it's free.
Yeah, it looks like it has more than just it has configurations around more than just that as well. It's just kind of a full-on volume management system, so that's great.
And I can do that in my since if you're running a rooted version of your phone, you're running CyanogenMod.
Yes,
you can do it there as well. So
and you have independent kind of volume
adjustments, independent for all volume of your controls. You can break everything out and stuff like that. So it's another way to go. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's a great app though.
Another listener tip from Dr. Bowser in Bountiful, Utah. I found the screen timeout widget to be very useful. It is available for free in the Android market. I've noticed that while you're doing demos, your screens will darken. This widget easily fixes the problem. It is also very useful when showing photos to friends. Thanks for all the information. And I actually, I downloaded it before today's show. I've been using it all day. If you take my screen here, it's this little button with a phone and a little snoozy Z's coming out of it. I've said I can't remember what the timeout times are, but basically off is what you're currently at. If I hit it once, screen timeout set to 1 minute. Hit it again, screen timeout set to 5 minutes. Hit it again, it's full on, screen timeout set to 10 minutes. And you can make those adjustments however you want. You could set those three stages in whatever way you want. It's easy to look at the widget and kind of know, depending on how lit up it is, where you're at. Mm-hmm. And it's super, super useful. I've been using it all day. So thanks for the recommendation, Dr. Bowser.
Yeah, I'll definitely be checking that out because I know I have trouble with my phone. Some apps on my phone, and maybe you guys have experienced this, they work okay, especially streaming apps. Mm-hmm. They work okay, and then if your screen times out and turns off, they stop. And I think the NPR app was like that for a while, but they fixed that. But so that's really useful. I'll definitely be checking that out.
And I mean, yet again, there are a number of different ways that you could probably do this type of thing. Actually,
you have an app later,
Drew Cipher. Well, yes, I do have an app later that'll allow you to
do
things
like
this.
I'm just teasing for Jason.
But Drew Cipher in the chat room mentions that features in CyanogenMod and the notification power bar.
Right.
I mean, just to kind of go back to CyanogenMod, it does a lot of really cool things. That's why it's really cool. So a lot of these things are kind of built in under the hood. This is a way to do it without that.
Someone just asked, what is that app again? It's called Screen Timeout Widget.
Yes.
I believe it's free, right?
It is free. Absolutely.
Okay, well, I have a little hardware review here, but I want to read this email first. I was supposed to do this review in the last episode, but we just didn't have time. So this email is from Tony at iSting, who says, I was up in the air between the T-Mobile G2X and the HTC Sensation 4G. Eileen, you wanted an update? Well, here it is. I decided to go with the HTC Sensation 4G after watching episode 19. It is a great phone, and I received the 2.3.4 update the very next morning after activating my phone. Woohoo. This was a long-awaited update. Anyone who survives 2 years with the T-Mobile MyTouch 3G deserves some type of award or extra discount. Well, Tony, I guess that's you. And I have just a little quick review of the phone myself. All right. Well, it's got HTC Sense 3.0. You'll see the familiar ring. And you'll see how zippy this phone opens up. And you can carousel it around to see all the various widgets that I've got here. 1.2 gigahertz dual-core Qualcomm Snapdragon processor, which makes it run really well. And you'll see this 4.3 diagonal QHD display. The biggest thing is their camera, which I think is pretty cool because it shoots at 1080p. And it has an 8-megapixel rear camera with dual LED flash. And there's a VGA front-facing camera as well. One thing you'd really like to note is probably battery life. And I have to say, standby mode, I got a pretty cool 10 hours on standby with this phone. Used it one day and unplugged the phone at around 9 a.m. and didn't have to plug it back in for another 12 hours. And that was moderate use. Of course, if you're streaming Netflix or streaming RDO or, you know, using it heavily, you might want to plug this phone back in. But after uploading 2.3.4 to this phone, I have to say battery life has been really, really decent. Netflix looks great. Some of the gaming looks great. Very easy to use, very easy. I love Sense 3.0. I'm really digging the various widgets that you've got here, the friend stream, the weather, the email, you name it. I'm actually really, really impressed with this phone. So it's available right now at T-Mobile. As you know, there's going to be tons of phones coming out pretty soon, and maybe this phone will get discounted. But if you're a T-Mobile user, you might want to check out the HTC Sensation 4G. Quite a phone that packs in a lot of punch. And the only con that I really had, other than the fact that there's a ton of really great phones that are coming out to the market pretty soon, is that the RAM is, what, 768? And I download a ton of stuff. And they're pitching this as the multimedia superphone for T-Mobile, HTC. Well, I want to download a lot of stuff. I want room for a lot of this multimedia stuff. And that's the one con. And it seems like everybody, and I did a little survey on G+, everybody who has the phone loves it. But I think it's just running up against some really hot phones that are going to be released very, very, very soon, like literally days. Yeah. If you're a T-Mobile customer, again, I'm thinking maybe it'll be updated. Now, we're looking, for those of you who are watching the video, we're looking at HTC Sense 3.5. I kind of like HTC. This is my first phone that I use with HTC Sense.
Yeah, well, I was curious to hear what you thought about Sense.
Do you like it?
I played around with Sense 3 and had a Sense 3 ROM on my Thunderbolt for quite a while. I don't anymore, but I really went back and forth between vanilla and Sense 3. There's just a lot of really cool usability kind of splat, you know, there's a lot of splashiness to it, but it's all very usable.
Exactly.
A lot of it is very usable.
And it flows.
Some of it I didn't quite use so much. Some of the widgets and stuff are really pretty and everything, but
exactly.
I just, you know, they occupied too much space for me. It was like your entire screen or nothing, you know?
Exactly.
And that kind of stuff I wasn't too fond of. But the lock screen was
super
awesome.
Screen. I love that.
And I mean, you know, 3.5. Sense is like the only overlay that I get somewhat excited about and interested in.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems to be the only one where they're not just, well, I shouldn't say this. There's functionality in all of them, but I think a lot of them are really concentrated on what can we add in. They don't care whether it's going to get in your way or not. It's just like, what kind of widgets can we put there that'll make you want to come back to Samsung or come back to whoever. But yeah, HTC Sense, it really seems to be very usable, pretty. And it seems to, I mean, I don't really see a lot of negative feedback on forums and things about it. So
yeah, me neither. So it's kind of exciting to see possibly 3.5 coming up. And just a footnote, it's possible that HTC might be working on a Sensation Special Edition with Beats. 1.5 gigahertz. We talked about Beats a couple weeks ago. I just saw this come up on my feed, and I thought, oh, okay. Not that we're sure what exactly is going to be the greatest feature with the Beats, but
I'm really curious to know like what that ends up meaning.
I don't know. What
I
that
still
means.
Have no idea.
No, I mean, it seems like right with now. HP, I think was the one who was doing a lot of Beat stuff, right? At some point, and it's like it just seems to be a marketing marketing gimmick more than anything, but
totally.
I don't know. I'm sure the chat room will let us know if there's some super cool thing about Beats that nobody else does. I'm sure they'll
A Beats equalizer app, which actually I shouldn't totally diss, because sometimes I feel like these phones need better
equalization. Yeah,
yeah, equalization and volume adjustments, yeah. Adjustability.
With that, it's time for our real hardware section. Hey, guess what got announced on Tuesday?
What?
This phone!
Oh,
this
that
phone.
Thing you've had for like...
this thing that I've had
a month
for...
or two? Or?
Yeah, like 2 months. So the Samsung Galaxy S2 is going to finally land here in America for Sprint, T-Mobile, and AT&T. We talked about it in the last episode, not coming to Verizon, because I think we kind of know why. Each carrier is doing something a little bit different. AT&T is going to call it the Samsung Galaxy S2. It will have the 4.3-inch screen that I have, the same as the European version, and NFC support, which I actually don't have on my phone. T-Mobile has not named theirs yet, and Sprint is calling theirs the Epic 4G, and Sprint will get theirs first on September 16th, and both of those, T-Mobile and Sprint versions, are going to be a 4.5-inch display. It's a little bit bigger than this.
Now, wait a minute. Isn't Sprint actually calling it the Samsung Galaxy S2
Epic 4G?
Talk about most confusing name for a device ever. Yeah. If you just shorten it to Epic 4G, I guess that makes better. But there's already an Epic 4G, isn't
there?
Yeah.
I thought there was, yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's why
it's going to make it very confusing.
That's why I guess they're going to say Samsung Galaxy S2. It's so long.
Yeah, it is really long. I don't understand that. Why, will you miss NFC? Do you wish you had NFC in yours?
You know, I still have the Nexus S, and again, I'm very disappointed that, you know, most of the NFC applications are available for the Sprint users. This is the T-Mobile phone. So I haven't really ever experienced it fully, so I don't really miss it. Maybe I will as soon as really cool stuff
That's the thing.
Happens,
stuff has
to
be developed for it. I mean, I just sold my Sprint version, Nexus S4G today.
Sold it today. Wow.
I sold it. But, you know, but that is, I mean, they've been using that stuff over in Asia for forever.
I know.
And it just hasn't caught on yet here, probably because we're so spread out in the United States.
It's like texting. But, it took forever.
Exactly.
Did you ever use the NFC any of these retail locations with Google
not at
Wallet?
All.
No. Wow.
Nothing.
All right.
I mean, I really didn't come across it. I didn't see it. It wasn't like right in front of my face. And I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. So, I mean, until it starts to become more popular and actually has applications developed for it and it's out in the marketplace, I don't think people are obviously going to be using it. But hopefully they'll start including it in more and more phones because it is a cool feature.
Yeah.
Well, as you all know, I do recommend this phone. So those of you who go out and get it in whatever carrier, I think you're going to be pleased. Just saying.
Cool. Yeah, I know. I look at that phone and it's so like sleek and slender and light. And
I'm going back and forth between that and the Nexus Prime. So it's
which
tough.
We haven't seen.
Which we haven't seen.
It could be a brick phone.
This one's supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be available, I think, September 16th, right?
Right, for Sprint.
And then, you know, there's been rumors that the Nexus Prime was going to be out in October.
I know.
Or some versions of it. So now I'm really torn. It's like, well, do I just wait another month and maybe get the phone? But, you know, based on Jason's experience, maybe I should just go.
You can wait forever, dude.
Maybe I should just get it.
Never ends.
Yeah.
You know, and of course Verizon isn't getting the Nexus Prime.
Right.
Getting the Droid Prime. So I don't even know if it's worth it. Well, yes, it is worth it for me to wait at this point. I'm addicted to waiting, I think. But there's too much right around the corner.
I know.
Anyways. So speaking of Samsung, at the IFA Technology Trade Show in Berlin, there were a lot of announcements. Another interesting thing that came out of that is the Galaxy Note, which is a 5.3-inch display. It has a built-in stylus, which they call the S Pen. It has custom S Pen apps for like things like note-taking. They really kind of emphasize the fact that it's large enough and the stylus is included to make it like really usable on the go, to make it really, really usable in ways that maybe your tiny little wimpy phone isn't. But 5.3 inches in a handset, I'm really curious to kind of hold one of these things and see if it's too big. 4.3 doesn't scare me. 4.5 doesn't scare me. 5.3, I reserve judgment until I actually have it in my hand. But it does come out with Android 2.3, plus TouchWiz, obviously. It's LTE, HSPA+, a 1280 by 800 Super AMOLED display.
I love Super AMOLED.
Yeah, do you think you like it more than QHD?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. QHD didn't... I mean, when I compared my phone next to that HTC Sensation, no way.
Pixels.
My phone rocked it.
That's what I hear a lot about the QHD. Dual 8 megapixel and 2 megapixel cameras, removable 2500... Meh. I realized after I pasted this in here, I don't really know what to say there.
A big battery.
Yeah, a big battery. Almost sounds like a meh battery, but it's not. And Samsung made dual-core 1.4 gigahertz processor, and I'm waiting for someone in the chat room to correct me and tell me what MAH stands for.
I think it's milliamp hours.
There we go.
See, this is 4.3. This is not, it's actually, I'm getting used to it, but when I was thinking, I was watching the video that Chad just showed, and 5.3, I'm like, I don't, it's too big for me. I like the whole. 5.3
is big.
Yeah, I like the whole idea. No, I actually like the stylus. I'm actually into that. That would be kind of handy, especially for something that big. But I'm already going to say no to this for me personally. But
really?
I did a little survey on G Plus and lots of positive comments on there. Lots of you guys out there with big hands are like, yeah, I love this.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about this before, not on the show, but in other things. I love a bigger display. I mean, I would like to have a tablet that has a phone in it, you know, not just data connectivity, but an actual phone, and then just ditch my phone. And maybe something like the Samsung Galaxy Tab 7.7.
Oh.
If that had a phone, I'd really appreciate it. It doesn't, though, but it was announced this week, and actually it looks pretty cool. We talked last week about the 8.9, the Samsung Galaxy Tab 8.9.
Right. The weird.
Middle of the road tablet, and this week Samsung announced the 7.7. Looks pretty cool. It's actually a dual-core 1.4 gigahertz CPU. It's running Android 3.2 at this point out of the box. And we've seen a lot of tablets, or I've seen a lot of tablets running 3.1. This one's actually 3.2, and it's HSPA+. So it looks really good. I mean, you mentioned Super AMOLED. This one has a 1280 by 800 Super AMOLED screen, so it should look fantastic for viewing movies or playing games that are have the resolution actually that high. And I'll talk about a game that does have that resolution later on. But it looks really cool. I mean, it's got 60. It'll support either between 16 and 64 gig of internal storage. So that's actually has a card slot. If you're watching the video, that's what they're showing right now. There's a card slot that you can insert your own memory, which is
that's
really
great.
Good.
Yeah, I wish
that's
that the 10.1 had that. Actually,
exactly.
Today was the perfect example. I have a video that I was trying to get off of it for this show, and I could not for the life of me because it was just too large to like send over Wi-Fi. The upload kept canceling.
Right.
That would have been...
So I think that's a really cool feature. Also, the thinness of it. This is why
great.
You need to watch the video of the show. I mean, he's displaying it right now. It's actually extremely thin. I'm just looking to see if it says...
Seems as thin as the 10.1.
Yeah, at least. It's very thin. It doesn't really say here how thin it is, but it does say it's 0.74 pounds. So it's very light, very thin, a beautiful display. Too bad we can't get it here in the U.S.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so
right?
I guess that's confirmed at this point.
Well, was a rep that basically a Samsung spokesperson, I believe at IFA, told Xavier Lenier, the author of this article, that it would not be coming to the U.S. They have no plans to bring it to the U.S.
Bummer.
I guess
go to
we'll
Europe and go buy one.
It's really hot overseas. And
I'm going to go to Europe now whenever that comes out.
Yeah.
Maybe they're holding their cards close to their chest. I don't know.
You know, what could stop you from getting one of these, I mean, from ordering from one of these and having it shipped over? It's just Wi-Fi.
True.
Right? So,
well, that's what I did with this phone.
Contract anyways.
Yeah.
That's what I did with this phone. So maybe we could get it.
Absolutely.
Or you have, tethering on your phone and that's how you... How you get to the... I mean, it should work, so...
Yeah.
Should be... it's too bad. I mean, hopefully that's not true, but it looks like it is for now anyway. The other really cool piece of technology that was announced was the Sony Ericsson Xperia Arc S. They always have the best names. And so we're going to have a video of that. But it looks like this is a pretty cool handset as well. If you like the Sony Ericsson Xperia line... the Xperia 10 and so forth, when those came out. This looks very, very similar to that. It's kind of a refresh of the original one that was announced earlier this year. And this one actually has a 1.4 gigahertz Qualcomm processor in it. I'm not sure if it's dual core. I think it's single core.
No, I think so.
8.1 megapixel camera. It has an Exmor R sensor, which does something with 3D. They're calling it a 3D sweep panorama mode. So you can take a 2D image 3D. And then convert it into 3D. So
I'm just trying to figure that out. I have no idea what that means.
I don't either. And I'm not sure what the fascination is with 3D lately. Everything is, you know, 3D explosion with TVs and everything else. So, you know, I'm not really sure how excited I am about that feature, but it seems to be the real differentiator here in the phone is that they have this 3D capability. So, I don't know. We'll see. The display looks really, really good too. And, you know, it's another contender, something to consider.
Absolutely. Sony actually had a lot of stuff that they announced, but one of the other kind of, I thought, you know, reasonably interesting things was the revival of the Sony Walkman.
Oh, yeah.
Entertainment. Cool. So it's a mobile entertainment player. So it's not a phone. It is a Sony Walkman. It's a 4.3-inch device, Gingerbread, HDMI out. Has this ability where you can throw media. They call it throwing media, which is better than squirting, I might add. throwing media to a compatible Sony device. So like Sony Bravia TVs, if you wanted to send a song and stream it from your device to the TV, you could do that. But, you know, it's just kind of the continuing of the life of the Walkman, the brand that never seems to go away. And I don't know. There's a part of my heart that's always kind of warmed by that. But will I get one? Probably not. Yeah. I have no reason to have a media player device anymore.
Right.
I just do all of that through my phone.
Yeah. Either phone or your tablet. One of the other.
So I wouldn't be surprised if, I mean, hopefully someday if they really want to go this route and make a really kick-ass music player with the Walkman name, you know, maybe they include that into the phone functionality and it can be both.
Right. Well, this is, it wouldn't be the first time. I mean, they did this with, you know, before smartphones, they did this with their other, you know, old style phones. I don't know which one to call them, but, you know, pre-smartphones, they had a couple Sony Ericsson phones that came out with the Walkman brand and that was their thing. I mean, it was a music player and a phone. And back then it was really cool because there was no smartphones. So, you know, back then it was like, oh, this is awesome.
Wow. It does so much.
Right. And now that everybody, well, not everybody, now that a lot of people have smartphones, it's like, what's the big deal?
Sure.
So.
Totally.
All right. Well, this just in today. I'm obsessed with this.
News.
You guys know I'm obsessed with the Amazon tablet, the possibility of it, and apparently it's real. MG Siegler of TechCrunch has seen it and has played with it.
That guy sees a lot of things.
I know he does. And I saw his photos that he was in Seattle. I'm like, why is he in Seattle? Oh, I wonder. And then I see the article afternoon thinking, wow. So he says that it's a 7-inch tablet. They're not going to release a 10.1 until possibly Q1 of next year. And it's a capacitive touchscreen, multi-touch, two-finger multi-touch. Price, $250, very competitive to the Nook. And he's saying that, I'm just reading what he's written. As anticipated, Amazon has forked Android to build their own version for the Kindle. My husband, Tom Merritt, predicted that last week. Simply put, it looks nothing like the Android you're used to seeing.
Kind of similar to what Barnes & Noble did with their Nook.
Right.
I mean, that's exactly what they did.
Google's Android market is nowhere to be found, he says, and they are not working with Google at all. What do we think? What do we think? I mean, they're going to sell a lot of these, period. $250, done. Yeah. Amazon, done. If it's going to have, you know, everything that we talked about in the last episode of just, you know, having access to the store, you know, I'm really curious about the music player and the video player because I buy a lot of video and music. I mean, the music is probably not so much, but I'm curious about the video player because I want to watch my TV shows that I purchase on the tablet. Do we care that the Google market is not there? I mean, I feel like something's going to happen. Something's going to hack in and we'll be able to
There will be a hack eventually. Yeah. But yeah, I care when the Google market isn't there because that's the market. That's the one that has everything for the most part that you might want to have access to. The Amazon App Store is good for certain things. But
not all.
I mean, not all. You don't really have everything. It's the whole manicured App Store versus the free open market, the difference. And I would miss the Google market. I think it's interesting interesting that they bundle this with an Amazon Prime account. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. What they did here is they did what they needed to do. If they were going to do a tablet that was a Kindle tablet, they have all their Amazon services. They needed to build it around that. So obviously, this is the way that they have to go. $250 is super competitive for a price point for what they're offering with it. Absolutely.
Well, they also say, MG also says that it will only have 6 gigs of internal storage because they want to use it more like a cloud device.
Like a cloud device, yeah.
$250 is still, I don't know.
Well, it makes a lot of sense now. I mean, I've been wondering why they've been making all these Android apps like the music player, the cloud music player, and the store and all this stuff. And I'm like, the MP3 store. So it all kind of makes sense. I mean, this must be something that they've been planning for a while to come out with something like this. And the $250 price point, I don't know. I think I'd rather, $199 would be better for me. Mm-hmm. But, since they're bundling it with a Prime account, I mean, that's worth something right there.
Yeah.
So
that's worth $80 a year.
I mean, right now it looks like it's going to be the same price as the Nook, unless the Nook goes down. I think it's $250, right?
And the Nook is still very popular. It's the only thing that's keeping Barnes & Noble afloat right now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, I think, you bundle in all this stuff. If you really love Amazon, why not? Or even if you don't, even if you're just a generic consumer, I think that the Amazon brand carries a lot more with it a lot of times than the Google brand or some other brand. I think that the Amazon brand is really strong, and I'm sure that's what they're betting on here.
Absolutely. Well, and not only is the Amazon brand really strong, the Kindle brand is very strong for what it offers. Yeah. I find it interesting that they, according to MG, they are going to call it the Amazon Kindle.
Me too.
And so what does that mean for the e-ink Kindle? Like, that's the Kindles. You know, they have to differentiate the two, I would imagine, by name in some way, shape, or form. Maybe they don't have to, but it's a little confusing. It makes me guess, although I don't believe it, is e-ink going away?
Yeah,
I don't think they'd give up that bread and butter.
No, I think they're still going to have that Kindle e-ink, but, they're moving into a different territory now with this new tablet Kindle. Seems like a lot of people are saying in the chat room they're going to pass. They're not sure.
It's not a full-on tablet either when you think about what we're used to getting in tablets. It doesn't have a camera. There are certain things that it doesn't have. So it's kind of limited in the same way that the Barnes & Noble Nook is. Even if you root the Barnes & Noble Nook, it's like an e-book reader that's been modified to be a tablet and does a lot of the things, but not all of the things. This kind of seems like the same type of thing here. So I don't know if it's apples to apples comparing it to something like, the iPad or the Galaxy Tab 10.1. They're kind of playing different roles.
Yep, I agree.
Even though they run the same OS. So. Awesome. Well, that's a lot of hardware.
I know. A lot of stuff happened this week.
Exactly. We might as well take a quick break and thank our sponsors. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is a leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, fiction, nonfiction, periodicals. They've got it all. For listeners of this show, for listeners of All About Android, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. So you can try out their service. One audiobook you might consider downloading is one that I have queued up. I don't have a credit right now. I spent my credit for this last month, so I'm waiting for another one. It's Ghost in the Wires, My Adventures as the World's Most Wanted Hacker by Kevin Mitnick, who is, he's kind of legendary in his status as one of the most elusive computer break-in artists out there. And it's kind of his story, and it's on Audible right now. The book came out, I think, a few weeks ago, and it was immediately on Audible as a downloadable audiobook. So I'm waiting for my credit because I've been waiting for this book, and I can't wait to listen to it.
Yeah, and the Audible.com, actually, they have an Android app. If you haven't downloaded it yet, it's free. I've got some of my books here. The latest one that I'm going to start reading is The Art of Racing in the Rain. It's a dog-centric book, if you like dogs.
The Art of Racing in the Rain.
But it's in the dog's point of view, this book.
That could either be really cool or not.
Well, there was a lot of five-star ratings. I know. There was a lot of five-star ratings for this, so I think it'll be okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to diss your book.
I know. You dissed my book, man. But the app, you can shop with the app. It'll lead you to the Audible store. You know, you could check your stats, how often you've been listening. There's some news, too. They update you through audible.com. It's a really, really good full
sleep timer. Did you say sleep timer?
I didn't say the sleep timer.
Yeah, that's what I use.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. I love the sleep timer because otherwise I fall asleep. I did this the other night. I was listening to this book that actually I'm listening to now, Ready Player One by Ernest Cline, read by Will Wheaton.
Oh, okay. Nice.
It's a very, very nice book. In fact, I'll just put that right over here. There we go. So Ready Player One, like I said, it's read by Will Wheaton, and he actually reads it a little bit better than I thought he would. I like Will Wheaton. I just didn't know he could like do multiple voices and, and that. So sorry, Will, if you're listening. But yeah, I was listening. I listened to these books at night. And so without the sleep timer, I ended up like I didn't set it the other night. And I ended up 4 hours into the book.
Oh.
And I woke up and I'm like, what's going on? And so anyway, definitely a good application, though, and highly recommend Ready Player One. You should check it out.
I am going to cue that up. Is this a novel or is it fiction?
It's a novel. It's fiction. It just came out. And basically it's about it's a completely geek book. So real quick, it's about Easter eggs. And so this guy develops this Easter egg, and it's a real life Easter egg. Mm-hmm. And he's left his fortune, and everyone's trying to find the Easter egg and unlock the keys and get into the room and all this stuff. So
cool.
Very, very cool. It's very fun.
I will add that to my gigantic list of books that I'm actually waiting to listen to now. I went through and went on a total rampage, and I think I'm good for at least 2 years now.
I was looking for the sleep button, and Chad, you could take my phone. It's right there. Once you launch the book, there's the sleep button there.
Yeah, you just hit settings. Hit the settings or the menu key. And
that's great.
Yep. Nice. Well, that's a lot of books to check out if you haven't been to Audible before.
You'll get one of them free.
And definitely check out the app. You can get one of those free. To download any of those for free or another of your choice. You know, we're not limiting you to just these books that we've talked about. Go to audiblepodcast.com/android. Pretty easy to remember. audiblepodcast.com/android. Check out a free audiobook, and I think you'll really dig it. I'm loving audiobooks. I'm totally addicted now, so check it out.
I have 3 credits right now, and I need to purchase one before it, you only get 3. At least in the gold plan, you get 3, and then if you don't get one, then you don't get your... Like, I wouldn't get the 4th. Uh-huh. I lose the month, so I have to choose another one.
Oh, do it. There's plenty.
Gotta do it. All right, well, back to feedback. And this next email is from Adam Colby, who says, "Hi, AAA crew. Thank you for putting on such a great show for the Android enthusiast. After your root episode, I rooted my Evo 4G and installed a custom ROM and kernel. Now, on to my question. My 21-month-old son has shown a great interest in both my wife's and I's Evo 4Gs. Though it is nice to see the interest, he tends to help a little too much with playing Plants vs. Zombies or insists we need to watch videos on YouTube. We would like to buy an iPod Touch-like Android device to call his own. We love Android and have invested in apps in the app ecosystem. The device needs to have Wi-Fi, cannot make calls, and does not need much storage space. What options exist? Is buying an unlocked phone an option? I worry about my son making phone calls. Can an unlocked phone without a SIM card make any calls? I am also looking at a cost of under $200. Any suggestions will be appreciated. Well, we were just talking about IFA. We were just talking about all the new hardware announcements out there, and while this is not confirmed for the U.S., there is a Galaxy S Wi-Fi 3.6 that is the quote-unquote iPod Touch for Android. We just don't know when we're going to get it, and it's around $200. This, to me, would be the ideal solution for you, but since that is not quite coming out yet, I'm going to suggest possibly the new Lenovo tablet for 200 buckaroonies. It's a low cost and really, really skinny tablet, and it'll run Android 2.3 Gingerbread, and it has a front and back facing camera, Wi-Fi connectivity, offline GPS. You know, there's no phone in this. And that should be coming out fairly soon. And that seems to hit your price point. I think it would be fun to play Plants vs. Zombies on this thing. Yeah, all the games and watching YouTube on this device. It's how big is the screen? Well, it's a 7-inch tablet. So I don't
big
know.
Enough.
Big enough.
Big enough for big Plants enough. Vs. Zombies. And actually, to go back to what we were talking about earlier, there is no availability and pricing on the Walkman, but that would be a perfect opportunity
right.
for something like that as well.
Right. And there's other things available. There's some cheap ones that you can get. They're on the knockoffs, either Chinese versions or whatever. I know I saw these the other day on bigboxstore.com. I have no idea if this is a reputable site or anything, but they've got it caught my attention because there was
that
a lot
Aaron,
of I know
ordered from
trouble.
That site and now they stole my money.
Bigboxstore.com.
But there's a bunch of these, you know, Android tablets that, you know, they probably don't have the best screens or whatever, but for a kid,
exactly.
This would be perfect. And some of these are, you know, $100, $50, mm-hmm. You know, so definitely check these out. And my prediction is that I mentioned this on Forecast, that these types of tablets are going to be coming down in cost towards the Christmas time frame. So over the, you know, once we get to November, yeah, I think you'll be seeing a lot more of these knockoffs in the store as people are trying to bump up their profits around Christmas time.
Oh, totally. Cool. All right, moving on. We have Antonio from Atlanta, Georgia, who's also TechAce01 in the chat room, says, I work around a lot of machines, so I use my phone as a music player. I also need to use Bluetooth headphones because I broke 3 Trio 650s with wired headphones. The stock music player on the G2 worked great, except when I get a call, but that's another email. The problem I'm actually having is no matter what music or video app I use, if I turn my Bluetooth headset on, I have to go into the music app to activate the headset. Is there a way to put the stock Google Music player on the Sensation? Sense Music player won't read my artist right. When I back out, force closes. So he kind of goes on, but basically he's tried multiple music players and hasn't found one that solves this problem of the show. And I mean, yes, you can install the stock music app. In fact, Google rolled this out when they did their music beta launch, and anyone can go into the Android market and download the stock music app, Music Beta by Google, which is kind of the new stock music app going forward. I actually did send this to Antonio earlier because I was trying to kind of get a little clarification and mention this to him, and he wrote right back and said, hey again, I installed the Music Beta from the link. So far it's working. Yay. So it fixed his problem. Good. He said, except for Netflix, no matter if I turn the headset off or on, it stops the app. But it didn't do this on the G2. But my main issue has been solved. So there we go.
Awesome.
Music stock music app. We'll fix that problem.
All right. Okay, next email is from Henry in Boston. Hey guys, I love the show. Have not missed an episode yet, even the betas. Quick question. I have heard Eileen talk about the Unlock Galaxy S2 that she imported. I heard you say you use Go Launcher X, which I do. Is the European version not vanilla Android? And if so, why then use a third-party launcher? And if it is skinned, as you say in the business, why not wait and get one of the US versions rather than spend all that money, not to mention the shipping charges? Keep up the awesome work. And Jason, pick a phone already.
Do it when I feel like it.
Henry, no, it's not vanilla Android, and it has TouchWiz all over it, so that's why I'm using Go Launcher X, which I really, really love. And why not wait and get one of the US versions? Because I couldn't wait anymore. I've been borrowing Leo's Nexus S, and I had to pay full price no matter what because I lost my phone, and so I went ahead and just got the phone that I really wanted. It was a little bit more expensive, but now I have an unlocked phone when I go anywhere overseas, and I didn't have to re-up my contract. So I'm ticking the time down when this is the SIM that's in here is my iPhone SIM. So I'm ticking the time down when the contract ends.
Mm-hmm.
And goodbye.
Right.
And, you know, to your contract for me.
It's worth asking the question, though, because this kind of touches a little bit on that. When you're buying a phone that isn't vanilla, and you can just install a launcher on there. Like, is that good enough for most people? You know, like, we're always talking about how it's got to be vanilla this and vanilla that and everything. But then when we get a vanilla phone, you know, we end up customizing it anyways a lot of the times. I have Launcher Pro on mine, so it really doesn't matter if it has, you know, Moto Blur or TouchWiz, and I don't like that because I would probably just put Launcher Pro on there anyways.
Exactly.
Does it really matter?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think so. Well, it does.
I mean, there's bloatware. There's always like
apps
that they load on. But
even though I have some of that bloatware and now I'm running Go Launcher X, I don't see it. It's, you know, it's very customizable. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple apps here I'm like, maybe I might use every once in a while.
Some launchers actually allow you to hide app icons if you don't want an app to show up. So it's like it's still on your phone, but you're not seeing it. So it's kind of like, who cares? You know, if you've got enough memory in your phone, it doesn't matter.
As long as it's not running in the background, taking up cycles.
There's that too.
That's the thing I hate. So
absolutely.
Yep. Thank you for listening, Henry.
Yeah. All right. So I've got another email now. This is from, I'm not sure if these are initials or what, M-A-U.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
I'm not sure. But anyway, Mao. he says, is there an Android app for Google Talk that can do pop-up in a similar way, like Go SMS when a new message arrives? I've searched Android market. I don't think there is one. I'm not from the U.S., so I don't have access to Amazon's Android market. So there's maybe an app there that I don't know that can do that. And, of course, you guys are the experts here. Wow, thanks. So maybe you could let me know if there is one. And he says, hey, more power to you. Love your show. I'm very glad that I accidentally listened. Accidentally? Well, we're glad too. Just by watching two shows, my girl already thinks that I'm an Android apps expert. How cool is that? Hey.
Yeah.
So, you know.
All right.
All about cool Android.
Whatever we can do to help.
All about Android. It's good for your love life.
Yeah, there you go.
So, actually.
Title.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, the Google Talk app actually allows you to do this already. It's just buried in the settings. Mm. If you go to settings, notifications, pop-up alert, and actually I'll try to do that.
Yeah,
for
I actually
you.
Have one on mine.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, Chad, if you take my screen, I just sent it from my email. And what
go.
Do you know? Jason sent me a message. This popped up over my desktop
you
and it
tall.
Says, hi, you are tall. And to which I would reply, yes. So there we go.
So there you go. It's just kind of buried.
Yes, it does pop up, and it's pretty cool.
Yep. Luckily for you, it's just kind of buried. You may want to update your applications, though, because you may have an old version of GTalk. There's been several floating around, especially since 2.3.4 came out, because that's the one that supports video if you have a front-facing camera on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So you may just want to look and see if you have a upgrade. You need to upgrade that application, perhaps, to get that feature.
Yeah. Yeah, very well could be that. Moving on, Terry from Ontario, Canada writes in and says, love the show. I've learned so much from you guys. You folks are great.
you guys are really great. Anyways.
Sometimes I edit these so that I can just get to the question. I am looking for a good IM app. Do you guys have any recommendations as to what would be a good choice? I've tried a few and none have been that very good. Also, maybe on a future show you could cover browsers. Which is interesting email because that's
gosh.
What we're doing next week.
Yeah.
So that was totally unplanned, but strangely that fits. So IM apps. I don't really use IM on my phone. What about you guys?
I use Google Talk, and that's about it. So I love the fact that if someone's trying to reach me via Google Talk, that it just, you know, pops up on the notification bar at the top of my phone, and that seems to be enough.
Do you ever have to launch Google Talk for it to be running for you? Because I feel like I never go to the icon and launch it, but I don't know if me not having done that means that I won't see a chat.
There must be a setting, but I see it all the time.
You
can turn it but I see it all the time. So if you just go into chat on your computer, I'll see it on my phone, which I love.
Interesting.
So I don't miss it because I've seen that a couple times. Now I have Chrome everywhere. I've got multiple computers, and so I'll see it on my phone, on that computer, and that computer.
So it pops. That was going to be my question because I don't have anyone that usually communicates on GTalk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does it pop up on all the devices simultaneously?
Yep.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I don't miss it unless I don't have it launched.
Right.
Okay.
But I don't have it launched on my phone, and it'll come up.
It comes up anyway.
Like if I don't have my phone around, then oops, you know, sorry, I missed your message. But it tends to come up no matter what.
Yeah, I just don't know if it would for me or not because I've never used that app. It is worth mentioning though, other IM clients, Meebo is one that connects you to multiple IM clients.
Right.
Services in one client, and then also Trillion, which I used on PC.
Yep.
God, forever.
A long time ago.
Android app for that as well, which I haven't used on Android, but it looks like Drew Cypher in the chat room is a fan. So Trillion is by far the greatest, uses C2DM for notifications, so it uses low battery.
That was one of the free Amazon apps month back or whatever. So
oh, was it?
I have it on my phone.
You know, I don't miss many days on the free Amazon app, but usually I find out the ones that I did miss. I'd be like, dang, I would have got that one. Anyway, so that is that. Cool. Well, let's get to Just a really quick mention, Netflix.com/twit. We've talked about them a lot on the show and on the Twit Network. Everybody has Netflix, but we are huge fans of Netflix and their instant streaming service. You can go on onto the website and stream, but you can also do it from just a number of different places. Your Android phone, you can do it from iPhone, Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, Roku, all these devices that connect right into the Netflix service. So you can stream TV shows, movies. They have a huge selection, so you can go online and check it out. And if you want to do, you know, maybe 30 days free, something along those lines, if you'd like to do that, you're welcome to go to netflix.com/twit and sign up for a 30-day free trial, and you can check out those movies and those TV shows and documentaries. That's what I watch most, actually, on the instant streaming.
I still have a disc.
Yeah, me too. I do.
I do. Totally. I mean, I'm not quite sure if I'm going to keep it, but I still have it.
And, I don't think I'm going to keep it.
And my August billing was August 28th, so I've got it all the way until September 28th. So yeah. I'm watching Dexter right now on the DVDs because they took it off streaming. But
Magnum PI for me.
Magnum PI for you on disc?
Everybody's watching Magnum PI these days.
Whoa.
Yeah, pretty good. So it was on instant for a while, then they pulled it.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's available on disc, and as soon as that's done, I'll probably cut the cord on the disc. But
I just really only ever watch their instant streaming. It's for me, it's become ridiculously, it's become a pain for me to get up and put a disc in the
isn't
drive,
that
which is so ridiculous. I realize, as I'm saying it, that's strange, but I find enough to watch on the instant streaming. So go check it out. You can check it out for 30 days free, netflix.com/twit, and we thank Netflix for their support of All About Android and the Twit Network.
And thanks for having an Android app, too.
That's right. Totally.
Yes.
And opening it up to more devices. All right. Without further ado, let's jump into the arena.
Two enter. One lives. Android Arena.
All right. Well, last week I was not here, but you two were. And you were filling in my shoes. You did a great job with my app. Although I probably would have been a little bit more critical. I just thought the look of lock menu is just kind of
old school.
I don't know. Just like having all of the sliders on both sides. Yeah. Like after a while, I realized I wasn't really using many of the other sliders. And it just kind of looks... it looks kind of hacked.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's kind of got a hacky look, almost like, oh, well, we figured out how to duplicate the sliders, so we'll just put a bunch of them on the screen or whatever.
Right.
But it does the trick. But I'm happy that you stepped in and fought hard for it.
I think I got 2 votes in the poll.
Yeah.
Guess who won? Who is not here? And boy, GoPollGo changed their UI a little bit.
Yeah, so GoPollGo, they added a world map. There's under analytics, you can click on world, so we can see all around the world what people are voting. There's some blank
areas. We were complaining
about
that last week. That's good.
Yeah.
Congrats to Ron. So they heard us. They heard us, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Congrats to Ron, who wins with Widget Locker, who overwhelmingly took 280 votes, and everybody else got about
72% of the votes.
30 votes here and there.
You had to know. I mean, Widget Locker, going into this arena, we knew Widget Locker is just far and away the one that I hear about the most from people that want to change their lock screen. So, and it just does so much stuff.
I love how I have Brazil. My country is Brazil.
Have Brazil.
Thank you. I got one vote in Brazil.
You have the one vote in Brazil. You're right.
Win Brazil. Thank you.
You go, Brazil.
I want to visit you now.
Cool. All right. Well, this week, as we like to do with the all listener feedback episodes, we're doing a grab bag. So it's really up in the air to choose.
I think it's
interesting to see where it landed. It's like one productivity customization app and 2 games. So this could be an interesting vote.
So one of us is serious.
Yes.
I know.
And the other two are just like,
one of us doesn't play a whole lot of games these days.
Yeah. When I saw what you were going to do, I thought, oh man, I'm so going to lose. All right, well, I'm just going to throw out a game there then. I'm going to do something fun. Because your app is really, really cool. I'm saying that now, even though I don't really use it. I know Gina Trapani has written about it. It's a very geeky tool,
it's
I
totally
think.
Totally geeky.
And I'm anxious because I've had this app for a while and I haven't done anything with it, so I'm ready to learn.
Cool. Cool.
Tell
well,
me, Jason.
Well, let's see. So I downloaded Tasker. It's a $6.49 app, so it's not an inexpensive app necessarily.
Maybe that might price you out. I'm just kidding.
Well, I'm sure that, kidding. You know what? I'm sure that prices some people out. To be honest, there aren't a whole lot of apps that people buy probably over $2 or $3. It seems like they're kind of snacky things.
But this one
Tasker is a little bit more expensive than that.
But this one does so much. But anyway.
It does. So instead of explain Tasker, I'm going to go ahead and take an email. It is the All Feedback episode, and this was a perfect setup for it. Cody Weilu writes in and says, "Hi, guys. I'm looking for an application that will turn up my ringer volume at a specific time and then silence it again later. I am in and out of class in college, and I frequently miss calls between class because I forget the phone is on silent. I would love it if there is an app that could create a schedule for ringer volume." I'm sure there's probably an app that could create that schedule, or you could create it yourself with Tasker, and that's kind of the point. Chad, I'm going to go ahead and do full screen on this and talk through it, so no audio on this, but so I recorded this earlier today. So taking this example, right, I'm creating a new profile with Tasker. I'm going to name it Silent Class, and I'll create that profile. Now I have to set a context. I'm setting a time context. So say his class is between 11 and noon. So I'm going to set from 11 to 12 o'clock noon and hit OK. So that's the context. Now I've got to create a new task that happens when that context is met. Go into audio, find ringer volume. And as you can see, there's a lot of different settings for everything. But I'll set ringer volume to 0. So when he's in class between 11 and noon, ringer volume set to 0. So there we go. Now you can see it in the list, silent class. I also want to set a day because, you know, he's not always in class 11 to 12 every day. So I add another context to that, set day, and I'll set it to Thursday, I believe, is what I chose. And if I got this right, that's kind of spooky. So hit OK. And so now 11 to 12 every Thursday, the ringer will be set to 0. But I have to add an exit task. I need to say outside of that, when that is done, what happens? So I add an exit task to it. And I say, when that is done, I'll go into the audio menu here and set the ringer volume up to 6. So when it's outside of those times that I specified, my ringer volume will then be switched up to 6. And I click the little green arrow down at the bottom of the app. That turns it on. And automatically right then, it's kind of refreshes and Tasker's running. And you notice up in the notification bar, I didn't do the timing right when I recorded this, but you see Wi-Fi Home is running right there. Mm-hmm. That's like because I was at home, I have a profile that detects my location at home, but not using GPS. It detects it based on cell tower location. Mm-hmm. So when I'm at home, it turns on my Wi-Fi. So it's not my Wi-Fi isn't on all the time checking signals. It only turns on when I'm near home. And then it finds my Wi-Fi Wi-Fi router at home and connects to that instead of data.
That's
kind of a quick run through. I also noticed after creating this that they actually recommend not doing that with your ringer volume because you can kind of mess things up. But there is a silence button, so I'll just kind of show you on here real quick, just as an idea. I have the silent class. And instead of doing the volume, you can go into a different menu and find silent mode and turn that on, or turn it to ring, or turn it to vibrate, mm-hmm. or whatever. So, I mean, the thing about Tasker is it's just incredibly powerful. You can set all sorts of contexts, all sorts of profiles. There's no limit to what you can do with it. Well, I'm sure there is, but none that I've found. If you want a particular application to be the trigger for something to happen. For instance, I'd been playing around with the navigation app. One of the most annoying things for me with navigation is I'll load up navigation or I'll do a voice command to navigate somewhere and it launches navigation and then always says, "Do you want to activate GPS?" So then I have to go activate GPS and then when I go back, sometimes it doesn't like catch that search that I did and I have to redo it again. Well, you could set up Tasker so that anytime it launches navigation, it actually has, I guess the fix is you add this like 50 millisecond pause before it launches it, then it relaunches it after 50 milliseconds, and it kind of does that for you, and it fixes the problem. Hmm. So you can get really geeky with it.
Yeah, there was, I can't remember where. It must have been in the Lifehacker article, but I think it was volume setting. Mm-hmm. And so one method was if you just turn your phone flip down,
yes,
that will turn your volume setting. Like there's a setting in Tasker to do that, which I think is very cool. Mm-hmm. You mean, oh, so every time I do this, put it on the table upside down or face down, the volume's off.
Well, kind of similar to the app that we were talking about at the very top of the show that was, you know, blasted up into space with the phone. I mean, your phone, these current phones are filled with so many kind of things that are telling it, you know, what screen orientation is. Mm-hmm. Is there, you know, GPS, all of these different things that it's drawing from. Tasker essentially allows you to kind of tap into those things and use them as triggers for whatever you want to do. If you have Bluetooth in your car, you can set up a Tasker task so that when it recognizes that particular Bluetooth in your car, it launches the car, you know, a certain car app, and it turns, you know, it enables speakerphone or whatever you want to do. Really, the hardest thing about this app, aside from that it takes a little bit of time to kind of understand the flow, I'd say, although that video probably did a good job of detailing the flow of it, is just that there's almost too many options, too many things that you can do with it. You have to really kind of think about it. But once you understand the flow, it's not that hard. Like I have things that are running all the time. Like one of my favorite recent ones is power brightness. Anytime I plug it into a power source, display brightness goes as bright as possible.
Oh, that's cool.
Auto brightness turns off and display timeout turns off. Yeah. So it's always as bright as possible when it's plugged to the power source. And then the second I unplug it, auto brightness is back on and that kind of takes over. Things like that.
Cool.
Silent while at Twit is essentially when I'm near Twit's guest Wi-Fi access, it automatically puts silent mode on.
Oh,
and then when I'm
nice.
I'm no longer near without Wi-Fi access, it takes silent mode off and returns it to whatever it was before.
So cool.
That's great. Another app I'm going to need to download. It sounds like this almost, it's complicated enough, it almost could use some presets or some scripts or something to say.
Yeah, well, and that's actually part of it. You can go to the site. They have, let's see here, tasker.wiki.com. That's wiki dot spelled out. Tasker.wiki.com. And they actually have step-throughs as well as profiles that you can download and load into the app. You can save and load all of your profiles with the app, and do just that. I mean, there's a ton of them there.
Wow.
You can also do it through the app. There is a way, and I can't remember profile data, this button. Import one? No, maybe that wasn't it. I got to it earlier and I wanted to remember it. Oh, browse profiles. There we go. And there's a few different places through the app that you can browse to profiles directly from the phone, and I think save the file onto your SD card.
I like how some of these Tasker how-tos are noob-proof.
Yeah.
Noob-proof.
Right, that's me.
They are really complicated. You read through some of these. I mean, it gets as detailed as creating kind of if-then comments. If they don't have an automatically a drop-down kind of button that you can press that represents the thing you're wanting to do, if you kind of talk its language, you can kind of script it by hand, but I didn't even go there. That's a little outside of my my desire.
I think something like that, because you can do so many things, is absolutely worth the $6.99.
Once you have it, you start to
you'll use it.
You have to justify it before you get it because it's a little expensive, and you're like, oh, what would I even do with it? Once you have it and you kind of do a couple of things just to play around with it, then suddenly it kind of opens up and you're like, actually, this one thing's been annoying me forever.
Yes.
I could do this. That display while plugged into power thing always really annoyed me.
Yeah.
Sometimes it did it, sometimes it didn't. Now it is always super bright.
It's almost like home automation. I can see some. Yeah. I can think of some really cool uses for this, along with home automation. I get near the door unlocks.
Yeah, right.
Go in.
Totally right.
You know.
Well, and I'm sure you could do stuff like that. Have it send out messages as well. I haven't thought about that, but so that's it. It's Tasker Android Market, $6.49.
All right. My app, because yours was so technical, I went ahead and just had fun with mine. And I'd like to thank Derek Duncan on G+ for giving me this app today. I wasn't sure. There was a couple apps I was going to profile, and games always win out when we do grab bag shows for me because it's so much fun. And this has a strange name. It's called Muffin Knight.
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 Not as in nighttime, but.
Oh, Knight. K-N-I-G-H-T.
Of the round table.
You know, I think, Chad, the best thing besides, I'll show a little bit on my phone, but if you scroll down on the page, let's show the YouTube video and their actual gameplay because they're much better than I am. So basically, you are a knight to start off with, and then you start unlocking other players like a zombie, like an orc, like a Cylon, and you're fighting things. What I love about this game, basically, you're fighting enemies like pigs and frogs and sheep and you know, crazy characters. And as you move up the chain, you unlock you know, wizards and other crazy animals. And at the same time, you have to also grab muffins. It's very, if you're not watching visually, it might be kind of crazy to hear. And just like the game, just as I'm describing, it's very frenetic. So, and it can get a little repetitive, but every time you grab a muffin, you grab XP points, which, you know, contributes to unlocking other worlds and other characters and other levels and other levels for your characters. My favorite character is actually the unicorn, and the unicorn itself poops out rainbow, and the rainbow, if the...
unicorns poop out rainbows?
And when it leaves it there, the enemy will explode.
Oh, cool. I really like the look of this.
Yeah, nice. The look of it is fan-freaking-tastic. Yeah. It's like, they say it's 2.5D. I'm not quite sure what that is. But it's really, really simple to play, very easy to kind of get into. Now, there's boss stages, which I've only unlocked 3 different worlds right now. It is crazy, crazy cool. I love this game, and here I'm going to try and play it myself. So here I am. Oh, I'm the knight. Oh, and I just died. I wasn't paying attention. Okay, so there's your muffin to the left. Here I am as a knight. You have customizable... what do you call these? Like
buttons.
Thank you very much. I'm like stressing out. Oh, here's the unicorn. So I'm gonna have him poop out right there.
Yeah,
oh, oops. Oh, sorry.
it's
damn.
Like focusing on your
autofocus.
I know. Now I'm like, whenever I play games and try and talk
really
about it, it's really difficult.
Talk,
so sure. Here's a kitten ninja, and they're killing some enemies, and then you jump, you go left and right. But the key thing here, in order to unlock a different character, is to grab the muffin. So as soon as I do that, oh crap! And I'm this is hard to do.
Wow.
As soon as I grab a muffin, the character changes.
Easy.
So there's the archer who I really like. He's got 2 arrows. There you go, jumping. Okay. This is going to sound terrible in audio, but anyways, it's very visual, very fun, and the graphics are very, very cool.
Yeah, it totally has a 3D look to it.
You can see the depths here in the shadows, right? Here, let me show you really quick. There's other levels. I've only unlocked the forest and the windmill, which is a very difficult level. And then in the settings, you can actually customize your controls, move it around.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's what you meant. Like, actually reposition them on the screen.
You can reposition. So this is my fire button and the jump button. I can move those around as well.
That's great.
So that's very cool. It's fun. It's cute. The actual soundtrack is cute. It could get a little repetitive. You can hear do-do-do-do-do-do-do. But that's okay. It's a cute game. Oh, and multiplayer. I haven't even gotten to multiplayer. The cool thing about this game is it's also released for the iOS platform. So you can play against, you know, your friends that have iPhones, and hopefully you win. I love the fact that the developer actually released this game at the same time as the iOS version. So kudos
that's
to
cool.
them. There, I'm
oh, that's great.
Kill
yeah.
the pig. Okay, now who am I going to be? There, I'm a monster.
Yay, you got the muffin.
I got the muffin.
You are a muffin knight.
Okay, and what am I going to do? Oh, right, the zombie throws up at people. Anyways, it's
cool.
Really crazy cool. It's frenetic. It's fun, and I love the graphics. So that is Muffin Knight. Thanks again to Derek Duncan, and it's $2.99 in the Android marketplace right now. It's worth it to note that the iOS version is 99 cents compared to the Android version at $2.99. But I think it's worth every penny. And boy, there's tons of levels to unlock that I haven't even gotten to
yet. I wonder why the
yet.
Price difference. I'd be curious to.
I'm guessing they think that they're going to sell
the Android overhead.
Maybe.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, with all the different devices that they have to make it
right.
Totally. Compatible for. Yeah. So that's my game.
Very cool.
Cool.
Awesome.
So I guess it's my turn, right? So I also picked a game. I didn't know what you guys were going to pick, but I picked a game that I've been playing lately. It could be a popular one. I don't know. There's over 3 million downloads, so maybe it's pretty popular. But it's called Deathworm. So, you know, well, you had the little cutesy yes. characters and stuff. This is very much the opposite. And the cool thing about that, I think, anyway, about this is it does have an HD version.
Oh, nice.
And we can actually play the video on this one, too. It has an HD version, and so if you do have a tablet or something, it'll actually scale up. Again, the music's really good, the quality's really good, the gameplay's really good. It actually has hooks into...
I love Deathworm!
Yeah. It has hooks into Xperia Play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. And
reminds
so,
me of Tremors.
Yeah, exactly. That was exactly my thought, too. You know, the whole reason I clicked on this, I saw it, and I'm like, okay, this looks just too ridiculous enough. I've got to just try it. And
oh,
then after I started playing it, I'm like, I got totally addicted. So the whole goal of the game is really to eat people and destroy... destroy tanks and things, and it's a level system. So you know, at first you have to eat 10 people, and then you have to eat 20, and then you have to eat 30 under, you know, within 60 seconds. And I'm on a level right now where you have to destroy 15 of those little alien spaceships, and it's virtually impossible. I don't know how I'm going to do it. And then each time you level up, you get a reward, so you get a little upgrade. You either grow the worm bigger, or he gets fireballs and this little mode where you can jump really high. So you, each time you level up, you get something cool like that. There's the level up feature.
Oh,
and so
awesome.
It's really fun, and it's very addictive. I mean, you know, I don't know how long it'll last, but you can try it for free, and then after you get past like the first couple levels, I think you have to pay for it. So, and it's only $2.99. There's 45 levels on, you know, in 3 different maps, and they're adding more as you go. There's a couple mini games. They have several different modes you can play. A couple mini games, survival mode, a bunch of different enemy types. You can see there's people shooting at you. In each level you go up, the shooting gets a little bit more powerful, so it's harder. Aliens, special forces
awesome.
Coming to get you. Yeah, so it's all kinds of awesome. I think it's really a lot of fun.
It like burst into
unique.
Yeah,
like several. Other worms.
Exactly.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's very fun. So there's two good, you know, depending on your temperament, there's two really good games to go check out.
Yes.
If you like to blow things up and you're kind of into that aggressive mode, you can go get Deathworm.
Well, I'm killing stuff too. I'm just
that's
killing
true.
Pigs.
They're just cutesy
and,
things that
yeah,
are fighting rainbows.
It's more cartoonish, I know.
You're
I
killing
know.
Cute stuff.
I know, isn't it sad? I'm killing sheep and cute pigs and turtles in this thing. I kind of feel bad every once in a while, but then I'm like, I need the muffin.
I'm going to go get it. I think it looks a lot of fun. Looks
yes.
like a lot of
that's
fun.
Awesome. I want both of those games.
Yep.
And I don't play many games, but I'm actually, just as a side note, really kind of impressed with the state of kind of games on Android right
me
now.
Too.
I feel like
yep.
it's kind of
me
coming
too.
Into its own now.
Absolutely.
And it's been a while. There was definitely a time there where there wasn't a whole lot to choose from.
Right.
And now they're just getting very dynamic and great to look at and fun to play.
Yeah. And
seems
people are
like-
making money.
Yeah,
that's the
people
key.
Are
that's
making
the key.
Money.
People are making these fun games, and they're getting money for. I mean, that's why it happens. I
yes.
mean, unfortunately, a lot of times, not everyone can be, give all their stuff out, and so people are actually buying them. I was really afraid when Android first came out that people were not going to pay for apps, and that would ruin the marketplace, and mm-hmm. then the whole platform would tank. But you know, hey, $3.
All it takes is a good app,
yeah,
and that's what's going to get people to purchase it. And I think our games are compatible with various tablets out there too. So
yes.
this would be really fun to play with.
Yeah,
you know, in the
absolutely.
Bigger screen, 10.1-inch screen, mm-hmm. even a 7
or a 7.7.
Yes.
Oh, not in the U.S.
All right, so you can vote for your favorite of these apps that were on today's grab bag. If you go to bit.ly/poll21AAA. We're switching it up because people are getting really like wise
know.
And they figure these URLs out. So
no.
sorry that we're not keeping a regular bit.ly link going here, but we got to, you know,
yeah.
you guys are really smart. So we got to try and trick you a little bit. bit.ly/poll21AAA. AAA, and you can vote for your favorite between Tasker, Muffin Knight, and Death Worm. Yes. I love it.
Oh, man.
I love that these three are together because they're all really strong in their own ways. So that's fantastic. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was awesome having you back, and especially back-to-back, we really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is great. I love talking about Android, so anytime.
Right on. Well, we will remember that and bring you back yet again. Hopefully not next week, though. We'll give you a break. go ahead and plug away whatever you want people to know.
Sure. So if you want to follow me, you can follow me pretty much Aaron Newcomb anywhere. So Twitter, Facebook, you can add me to your circles and Google+. That's typically where I spend most of my time. But more importantly, if you want to see some of the podcasts I've done, you can go to thesourceshow.org. And I'm working on a new website right now. The old one's pretty old, long in the tooth. So I'm working on a new website. And so I try to work on that when I can. But definitely go there and check out those video podcasts about making and hacking and open source software. And you can also catch me, of course, on Floss Weekly, which I co-host or sometimes host. But Floss Weekly here on the Twit Network, all about open source software projects.
Very cool.
Radical. Yep. How about you, Eileen?
Well, I would say I'm on at Eileen TV on Twitter, but I'm very heartbroken that TweetDroid is gone or will be gone very soon.
I didn't realize about this.
So I'm having another issue with finding a Twitter client that I like, which, whatever. But I'm very active on G+, so just do a search for my name. That's where I'm more active anyways, so maybe the whole TweetDroid thing is for the best.
Yeah, it was for the best. I'm at Raygun01 on Twitter, and you can find me on Google+ as well. Please do, because I always throw out a lot of Android-related questions, and you know, hopefully integrate those into the show as Jason Howell. You can just search for me there. But that is it for this week. Thank you guys yet again for joining us, and you can send us a voicemail at 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email at AAA@twit.tv. Hit us up on Twitter. We have a Twitter account for the show, at Android Show. Show notes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch us live normally every Monday from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. So for all of us, have a fantastic long weekend. Yes. Hopefully it's long for you as well. And we'll see you guys a week and a few days from now on another edition of
it's
All About Android.
Go grill some meat.
That's right. Bye. Androids in space.